Today, Shir is a Masech Tiksubis on Daft Tzadik Aleph. We will begin on Daft Tzadik Amud Beis at the beginning of the sixth line from the bottom of the Amud with the words Vahani Tanoi. Let us review a little bit of yesterday's Shir to give us the background for today's Gemara. In yesterday's Shir, we learned about the Takana of Ksubas Benin Dichrin, which the Chazal instituted when someone's wife dies, the husband inherits her, and when the husband subsequently dies, the inheritance of that wife goes over to her children. If the husband had several wives, and the wives had children, so Chazal, in order that the wife's father should give a substantial dowry, and he's afraid that the property that he's giving his daughter will get inherited by children from another wife, he will be hesitant to give a large dowry. In order to make him feel good about giving a large dowry, Chazal were misakin that if your daughter, Chas v'Shalom, dies before your son-in-law, and your son-in-law inherits her, when your son-in-law dies, whatever he inherited from your wife will go over only to the children that he had from your daughter. They will not go over to children from another wife. And then the grandfather who's giving the dowry will feel good about giving the dowry. He doesn't have to worry it's going to go to anybody else's children. That was the reason for the takon of Ksubas Benin Dichrin. And we learned in yesterday's shir that this special Ksubas Benin Dichrin, that it goes to the male sons of that specific wife, this is an inyan of Yerusha. It is not a chov. It is not like a regular Ksuba, where if the husband dies first and the almana comes to collect her ksuba from the estate, that is a chov, an financial obligation that the estate has to pay up the ksuba of the mother. Here, where the mother died first and the father is giving over to her sons the ksubas benin dichrin, that is a special type of Yerusha that the Chazal enacted, this special type of inheritance. However, there is a provision, as we're going to learn in the Mishnah, in today's Shir, on Daf Tzadik Aleph Amud Aleph, that there has to be a moiser dinner. There, in other words, if, let's say, you have, for example, two wives who died before their husband, and now when the husband dies, there are two sets of children who are going to claim Ksubas Benin Dichrin. And let's say the estate only has enough to satisfy exactly both requests. There was left over $30,000. Each ksubas benin dichrin is $15,000. And then once they've collected the ksubas benin dichrin, there's nothing left. In that case, Chazal took away their takon of ksubas benin dichrin. There has to be at least one dinner which they will split equally, and the din Yerusha D'Oraisa will be able to take effect. Then they can go and collect their ksubas benin dichrin. And for example, in that case, if one ksubas benin dichrin is $20,000 and one is $10,000, the larger ksuba will go to the woman who brought into the marriage the larger amount. The smaller will go to the woman, her children, the woman who brought in the smaller amount. But that's only if there's at least one dinner which all the sons will split equally according to the din Yerusha D'Oraisa. If there is not a Mosar dinner, then the children do not receive this special enactment, the takon of the Yerusha of Ksubas Benin Dichrin, and rather we take the $20,000 and the $10,000 Ksubas Benin Dichrin, we pool it all together, and all the sons from all the wives share it equally. So we have to have a moister dinner. We had a discussion yesterday, what happens if the estate has enough for one wife as a ksuba and one wife as ksubas ben dichrin. In other words, the case was that the first wife died before her husband. The second wife died after her husband. So the second wife is coming to the estate and saying, I'm an almana, and I would like to get my ksuba, which is a chov, an financial obligation that the estate owes me to pay up my ksuba. Can that itself serve as the moser dinner so that the children from the first wife who died before the husband, and they would only be getting it as ksubas benin dichrin, can they collect the rest as ksubas benin dichrin? Where is the moser dinner, the extra dinner that we're doing the Yerusha Daraisa? So we could say that the ksuba itself that is paid out to the second wife, that serves as the moser dinner. The Yorshim all inherit, as Rashi explained in yesterday's shir, they inherit the estate from the father, and then they have to pay out. There's a mitzvah for the Yusomim to pay out the financial obligations of the father. But meanwhile, it's considered that they have inherited it, and then they pay it out to the woman who's, to the wife who's asking for her ksuba. So that was a machlokas, whether a ksuba itself is nasas maisu l'chavrata. Can it become the extra dinner and thereby allow the other children to collect their ksubas benin dichrin? And then we had a machlokas yesterday, whether even if there is a moser dinner in the case we just mentioned, where one wife died before her husband and one wife died after the husband, achas b'chaya v'achas b'moisoy, is there a din ksubas benin dichrin in that case altogether? Because perhaps the whole ksubas benin dichrin is only when you have both sets of children receiving it as ksubas benin dichrin, as a special Yerusha enactment of the Chachamim. But where only, for example, in this case, one set of children will be receiving the ksubas benin dichrin, because the other set is receiving it as a ksuba from their mother. So then there's a shiloh whether we say ksubas benin dichrin in this case altogether. Why? Because it could be the ones who are receiving it as a ksuba, the chov, from their mother, the second wife, they say the following: we are not receiving any special Yerusha. We're getting a chov that our father had to our mother. Now you, the children of the first wife, you're getting a Yerusha from the father, which we're not getting anything out of it. It's not fair. That could come to a machlokas. If we're both getting as ksubas ben dichrin, and even if one's ksubas ben dichrin is larger than the other, there won't be any machlokas, because they understand. We're both getting a Yerusha. We're getting exactly what each mother brought into the marriage. That's what the children are receiving now that the father died. That's fair. But in this case, where we're getting a chov, the ksuba of our mother, and you're getting a special Yerusha, that's not fair. So perhaps we don't say ksubas ben dichrin at all. And in the line right before we're starting, the seventh line from the bottom of the Amud, Elo Amar Rabbi Yosef ba'achas b'chaya v'achas b'mois kamifli. What's Rabbi Yosef going on? Rabbi Yosef's going on the fifth wide line in the middle of the Amud. The Sanya we learned, it says there, Meisu achas b'chaya v'achas b'moisai, ben nanis oimer yecholim b'nei arishon aloimer l'b'nei ashniya b'nei ba'alas chayvatem tulu ksubas imchem utzu. So there we had a case where one died, the first wife died in the lifetime of the husband, the second one died after the husband, and there, as Rashi explains over there, there is no moiser dinner. However, according to Ben Nanis, we'll say the ksuba of the second wife will serve as the moiser dinner for the children of the first wife to collect as benin dichrin. And that's what they're saying to the children of the second wife. You take the choiv of your mother, you take the ksuba, and leave. We get the rest, because your mother's ksuba serves as a moser dinner, and therefore the remainder of the estate, which is identical to what is owed us as ksubas ben dichrin, we can take. That's a sheet of bananas. Rabbi Kiva said no. Kvar kofza nachla milifnei b'nei harishayna v'nafnala lifnei b'nei ashniya. Once the husband dies, now there is a chov of ksuba that's owed to the second set of children Rabbi Akiva Shita is, and this is the way Rabbi Yosef explained it. The Gemara tried to explain it in other ways. Rabbi Yosef had a kasha that it doesn't fit into Rabbi Akiva's lashon, and then Rabbi Yosef concluded, Elam Rabbi Yosef, you know what the machlokas between Ben Nanis and Rabbi Akiva is? Not whether a ksuba could be a moser dinner or not, as the Gemara thought. But the machlokas is fundamentally, do we say the takon of ksubas ben dichrin by achas b'chayev v'achas b'moysoi? Ben Nanis holds, you do say it. And that's why if the second set of children receive the ksuba of the mother, the first set can receive ben dichrin. However, Rabbi Akiva says no, that once the husband died, any potential of ksubas ben dichrin becomes bottle. Because the Chacham did not enact benedichrin if only one set of children will receive the Yerusha. It's only if there would be two wives who die in the lifetime of their husband, where both sets of sons will be receiving Ksubas benedichrin. That's when they enacted it. Here, it jumps from the potential of going solely to the benedichrin. And what do? First, we pay out the chov to the second children, the children of the second wife regarding her ksuba, and whatever is left over, they split as a regular Yerusha evenly. And we don't give it all to the children of the first marriage as ksubas benin dechrin. That's how Rabbi Yosef understood the machlokes Ben Nanis and Rabbi Akiva. And now begins our Gemara. V'hani tanoi kehani tanoi. This machlokes that we have between Rabbi Akiva and Ben Nanis, as Rabbi Yosef explained to us, that it's a fundamental machlokes whether ksubas benin dichrin was enacted, even if only one set of sons will be receiving it and not the other. That is the same machlokes we're going to see now between the Tanakam and Rabbi Shimon. The Sanya, we learned in a b'raisa. Nasa es rishon of a mesa. He married the first wife and she died. Nosas Ashniya Umesu, and then the father married a second woman, and then he died. So, Bon Boner Shelzu, her children, which the Gemara understands now to mean the children of the second wife, who are owed Iksuba, La'acher Misa, after her death, V'noitling Suba Simon, and they take the Iksuba of the mother. However, as the Gemara understands it, according to the Tanakhama, the children of the first wife cannot collect the Iksubas Benin Dichrin. And the rest after the chov of the ksuba to the second wife has been satisfied, the rest of the estate gets divided up equally between all the sons, and there is no takon of ksubas ben dichrin when you only have one set of children who will be getting that special Yerusha. It has to be when both sets get the Yerusha. That's the shita of the Tanakhama. Rabbi Shimon says, I'm not going to allow one ksuba to the second wife to serve as a moser dinner. But, im yesh moser dinner, if there is a legitimate extra dinner besides the ksuba to the second wife, then elu noitling ksuba simon, then one group of children take the ksuba of their mother as a chov that the estate owes them, the elu noitling ksuba simon, and the children of the first mother can also take a ksuba. Which ksuba? Not the regular ksuba, because their mother isn't entitled to a ksuba. She died before the husband. What are the children entitled to? Only the takanas chachamim of ksubas ben dichrin. And this sheet of Rabbi Shimon holds that ksubas ben dichrin was enacted even if only one set will get the special Yerusha. The imlav, if there is no extra dinner, then whatever is there above and beyond the payment of the second ksuba, chalka mishava, then they will all the sons from both wives, will divide the remainder equally as regular Yerusha midaraisa. And then, if there's no moser dinner, there is no benin dichrin. But if there is moser dinner, there is benin dichrin. My love, that's how the Gemara explains it. V'halkamifli, that's what these Tanoim, Rabbi Shimon and the Tanakhama, are arguing, the same as Rabbi Akiva and Ben Nanis, according to Rabbi Yosef's interpretation. The Mars of Rabbi Shimon holds, achas b'chayv, achas b'moysoi, yesh lengsubas benin dichrin. As long as you have a legitimate moser dinner, which we became a kaim the din of Yerusha deraisa, then the Rabbanan did enact even by one set of sons, even though there's only one set that will get the Ksubas Benin Dichrin, the one whose mother died in the lifetime of the father, there is Benin Dichrin. Umar Sarvata Tanakama holds, no. Achas Bechayev Achas B'moisai, Ein Lem Ksubas Benin Dichrin. If one died in the lifetime, one died after the husband, there is no Ksubas Benin Dichrin, and therefore the second set of sons receive the Ksuba of their mother. And then the remainder is divided equally amongst both sets of sons. That's so the Gemara wants to say it's the same machloikas as Rabbi Kiva and Benana. Says the Gemara, loy. That's not true. The kuli almo achas b'chayav achas b'moisa yesh things b'nei dechir. We can say that both Rabbi Shimon and the Tanakama hold that they did, Chazal didn't enact ksubas b'nei dechir, even though it's only going to one set of sons. And as we turn to the Tzadik Aleph Amad Alva, hocha b'dinner mikarkoik mifkli. The machloikas is, what constitutes the moser dinner? Do we need bedafka only from karka, from land? Or can you even accept metaltalin, movable items, to also be the most dinner? Mar sovereign the Tanakama holds mikarkoyim metaltaloi, that only if the most dinner is from karka, but if there's no karka there, if you have metaltalin, that is not adequate for most dinner. Umar and Reb Shimon, he will be makel, he will be lenient, and sover, he holds afilu metaltali, even metaltali are considered the most dinner. That's what Rav Shimon said. If you have a most dinner, means even if you have it from metaltalin. Ask the Gemara Mimatzah Zamertachi, how could you say such a pshat in the machlokas between Tanakhama and Reb Shimon? What none? We learned in the Mishnah at the bottom of the Amud, of our Amud here, Daf Tzadik Aleph, Reb Shimon Oimer, Afilu Yesham Nechasim Shein Lemachrayis, even if you have property that has no lien on it, which refers to metaltlin, because since metaltlin, when you sell it, never have a kol, there's no public knowledge of the selling of metaltlin, the Chazal said there can be no lien on metaltlin, so they're considered property that has no responsibility. So if all you have left are nechasim she'ein lemachrayis, ain't a klum, that's nothing, that's not considered a most of dinner. Achi heisham nechasim she'ein lemachrayis, until you have nechasim where there is responsibility, there is a lien on it, and that refers to karka, that you must have a dinner from karka. So how could you say Reb Shimon is lenient? And he says even a dinner from a metaltlin is good for the Maisa dinner. Reb Shimon on our Amid says Beferish, it's not good. You must have a karka, yes, or a basic ksubas dinner, more than the two ksubas, you must have a dinner of karka. Ella, hocha be dinner mishabdi kamifli. Here, the machlok between Reb Shimon and Tanakam is a dinner which there's a lean on it, as Rashi explains, it's a chov. There's machlokas Rishonim. Is it a chov to the father? Or is it a chov from the father? But yesterday we had the discussion whether a ksuba could be a moser dinner, whether a chov the father owes is a moser dinner, because it's considered that the sons inherited it, and then they paid up their father's chov. But here, some Rishonim learn, Mishabde means what was owed to the father. Do you have to have the moser dinner in your hands? It's here, it's tangible. Or is an IOU to the father also considered good? Or from the father, according to the other Rishonim? So, Mar, Sarva, the Tanakhama, Halls of Nei Charin, in Mishabde law. It has to be a tangible thing, not some money that has a lien on it. That's no good. Umar Sarva Reb Shimon holds a film of Mishabdi, even if it is money that has a lien on it, a chov, that's also good enough to be considered a moser dinner. So it comes out Reb Shimon is being makel. The Gemara asks the Kasha, the language of Reb Shimon does not look like a kula, a leniency, it looks like a stringency, a chumri, hachi, Reb Shimon oimer, im yesha moser dinner. Reb Shimon says, if there's a moser dinner, it's okay. From his language, it seems to be, you're telling me you don't need a moser dinner. I'm telling you, no, it's only good if I'm machmer. You must have a dinner. And if you're saying Reb Shimon, in fact, is makel, that he accepts a moser dinner, even from a chov, kivan shiesha moser dinner barlei. The language of Reb Shimon should have been, since there's a moser dinner, I don't care if it's from a lien, even though it's not tangible in your hand. Rav Shimon should have used an expression which showed a leniency instead of Rav Shimon's using the expression of a chumra. Tysus on the top Tysus of Mar Sover says that really this question could have been asked in the Gemara before. The Gemara before was also saying that Reb Shimon was makel to accept metaltlid and not karka. The Gemara could have asked. So then the lashon of Reb Shimon should not be a chumra lashon; it should be a kula lashon. Tysus says ain echanami, but the Gemara had a much stronger question. The stronger question was that Reb Shimon holds metaltlid is no good. How can you say Reb Shimon holds metaltlid is good for the Maaser dinner? Therefore, the Gemara comes up with a third explanation of the machlokas between Reb Shimon and Tanakama. Ella, bepachas mi dinner kamifli. The machlokas is, do you actually need a dinner? Maybe even less than dinner is sufficient for the din d'oraisa to be effective. And once the din d'oraisa is effective, we can go ahead with ksubas benin dichrin. Mar sovereign the Tanakama holds dinner in pachas mi dinner law. You must have a dinner and not less than a dinner. Umar sovereign Reb Shimon holds a fill of pachas mi dinner. Even less than there. So Tysus in the second Tysus jumps on the Gemara and says, wait a second, that's our whole problem, that Reb Shimon is using a stringent lashon of im, only if, and now you're telling me Reb Shimon is lenient, he's makel, that even less than a pachsimi dinner. So how's the Gemara answering it? Tysus remains with a question. I mean, really, you could say that the Gemara right away is going to ask a very strong question. Tysus could have answered the same like he answered on the first case of the Gemara, that the Gemara had a stronger question. As we'll see, let's see the next line. Var Reb Shimon dinner kamar. Reb Shimon said you must have a dinner. Over here in the Braisa, Reb Shimon says, if there is, yesh, yesh, maisa dinner. He's speaking about a dinner, not a pachsmi dinner. So you could have answered Tysus' question that the Gemara is asking a stronger question. But why didn't Tysus answer that? Tysus said it in the first Tysus, on the first pshat in the Gemara. So I think why Tysus didn't say it here is because as long as the Gemara didn't introduce it, you could say the Gemara looked for a stronger question. But once the Gemara in the second case asked this question, that the Lashon is no good, Tysus doesn't understand the Hava Mina. What was the Gemara thinking when it wanted to suggest, after I just asked you a question on the second answer, that the Lashon is a Chumra Lashon, it should be a Kula Lashon, so what are you telling me back that Reb Shimon holds that less than a dinner is good? Tysus says, you just got through saying that you shouldn't use a Chumra Lashon in that case, so why are you even suggesting that Pachasmi dinner is good? But whatever the question is on Reb Shimon, this pshat doesn't work either. Then the Gemara says, wait a second, I have a different pshat. I don't have to say, the Gemara is always trying to get away from saying that the Mechloek Spim of Shimon and Tanakam is the same as Benanis and Rebbe Kiva, whether we say Benin Dichrin when only one set has it. V'chi teme epach, as Rashi explains. If you're going to tell me that our whole line of thinking until now was wrong, we thought that when the Tanakama says that boy in Boneh shel zu, lachar misav and leipin ksubas imad, is referring to the children of the second wife. Maybe I'll tell you it's really referring to the children of the first wife. And what they're saying is that they could take their ksubas benin dichrin. In other words, it'll come out that the Tanakama is mekel. We'll say that the machlokas is speaking whether pachas mi dinner is good or not. The Tanakama holds that even a pachas mi dinner is good, and the children of the first marriage can take their benin dichrin after the ksuba has been satisfied for the second. And you have less than a dinner, but that's good enough as long as you have something. And then you know which children can come, not the children of the second wife, the children of the first wife. So maybe that will be the pshat. And then it'll come out that Reb Shimon is machmir, because Reb Shimon is saying that no, im yesh dinner, you must have a whole dinner. You cannot give the benin dichrin if there is less than a dinner. Then it would come out of chumra, everything would work out good. But the Gemara says, I still have a problem with that pshat. Tanakama the masnis, nami dinner kamar, the Tanakama of our next Mishnah, and supposedly the Tanakama of the Braisa, who argues on Reb Shimon, the Gemara understands is equivalent to the Tanakama of our Mishnah, who argues on Reb Shimon in the next Mishnah. What was the lashon that he uses on the second wide line on the Amid at the bottom of the Amid, the second wide line, he says the Tanakama, Hoya Shah Meiser Dinner. So it seems the Tanakama Reb Shimon also agrees you have to have a Meiser Dinner. So you can't say that the Tanakama of Brisa, who's equivalent to the Tanakama of the Mishnah, holds less than a dinner is good. Apparently the Tanakama of the Brisa holds you also need a dinner. So you cannot say the Machlokas here is about whether less than a dinner is good or not. Ella, the Gemara says, I'm going to have to say the following. Ki hanech treilishnei kamoi. I'm going to have to say that the machlokes between Rabbi Shimon and the Tanakama is not the machlokes of Rabbi Akiva and Ben Nanis, whether Achas B'chai v'Achas B'moisa we say Ben Din Dichron or not. Everybody holds, you do say Ben Din Dichron. You know what the machlokes is? The machlokes is whether Metaltlin is good. Whether alone Achoiv is good. And V'epoch. And I'm going to have to switch it around, and I'm going to say, as we said before, that the children of the first marriage come and get their benin dichrin if there's any type of moiser dinner, even if it's from a taltlin, even from a choiv, and on that Rav Shimon comes along and is machmir. You can't ask me a kasha. Rav Shimon's using a lashon of kula, of chumrah. He should use kula because, in fact, Rav Shimon's machmer. And Rav Shimon says, you know when it works? When you have a moser dinner from karka and it's not a chov, then it works. But your heter, the Tanakama, to allow the first set to take benin dichrin, even if the moser dinner is metaltlin, or the moser dinner is a chov, I do not agree with that. I'm machmer, it's only good if you have karka, and it's not a chov. Now the Gemara is going to tell us, what is the halacha l'maisa in all the different questions we've had here in the last blot concerning benin dichrin? Amar marzut mishrein rapapa, hilchas said halacha is, achas b'chayv, achas b'maisa, yesh leng subis benin dichrin. We paskin that even if it's one set that gets the benin dichrin and not the other, there is a halacha benin dichrin. And also, you need a meiser dinner. Baksuba nasis meiser lechavrata. The ksuba that they pay out to lady number two, that is considered as if they inherited something midaraisa. They had to pay out a loan for their father, the mitzvah for Yisrael to pay the chov of their father. And that is itself a meiser dinner, so that the children of the first group, the first wife, can receive their benin dichrin. The Gemara wants to know, why did Rav Marzutra have to say both halachas? Why couldn't he say one halacha, and that would include the other halacha? If he would just tell us the first halacha, that even when one set gets it, only the wife, the children of the wife who died in the husband's lifetime, that they get exubas ben dichrin. V'loyashmin, he wouldn't tell me the other halacha. That exubas nasas moysa l'chavrta. He wouldn't tell me that halacha, that the ksub itself could serve as the most dinner so that the first set of children could receive the benin dichrin. Hava mina, I would think. E yikam moisa dinner in eloi loi. Marzutra had to spell it out. He had to say that a ksubah equals a moisa dinner. Otherwise, I would have thought you need a real moisa dinner. Ksubah is not enough to be considered a moisa dinner. So that makes sense. But I have the kasha the other way. Elalish meaning ksubah nasa moisa l'chavrta. Why didn't Marzutra in the name of Rapapa say that a ksubah could become a moisa l'chavrta? And if he would tell me that halacha, then I'd have both halachas all together in one halacha. If I know Yadan, I would know. Mishum da achas b'chayev, achas b'moisa, yeshlem ksubah ben dichrin. As Rashi explains, how else could you have a case where ksubah nas and moisa l'chavrta? If both wives died in the lifetime of their husband, and their children, each wife's respective children, would be getting it as ksubas benin dichrin, then how is a ksuba serving as a chov to be considered a Yerusha, to be Mekayim, the din deraisa of Yerusha? They're both benin dichrin. If you don't need a moser dinner in the case where both sets are benin dichrin, where do you need a moser dinner? So it must be, if you're telling me that you don't need a moser dinner, there's only one case where that could be possible. If one was b'chayev and one was b'moisoi, one wife died in his lifetime, one died after the husband died, so then the yorshim are trying to collect a ksuba as a chov, then I can consider that ksuba as a Yerushim Adaraisa so that the other ksuba ben dichrin could be collected. So why don't you just tell me that one halacha
And I'll know it's speaking about a case of Achs B'chayv, Achs B'maysoi. Why do you have to tell me both halachas? The Gemara answers, no. If I just would have told you that Ksub B'nasa Moiser L'chavrata, I would say it's speaking about an especial case of three wives, and I wouldn't know the din of Ksubas B'nidichrin by two wives. What's pshat, says the Gemara. Iyash mean in Hachi, if it would just tell me that Ksub B'nasa Moiser L'chavrata and not the first halach of Achs B'chayv, Achs B'maysoi, Havamina. I would think, you know, when a ksuba could become a moser dinner, kagon shenasa shloishnashim, he married three wives, and umesu shnayim b'chayiv, and two wives died in his lifetime, and the ksuba of one is greater than the other. So the children of the larger ksuba are coming as ksubas b'nindichrin, and once the father died, they want to collect it as ksubas b'nindichrin. But now we need a moser dinner. So what is the moser dinner? The ksuba will be the moser dinner, because va'achas b'moser. One wife died after the husband, and her children are coming as a chov that's owed to their mother. But you know what the unique thing is over here? Va'ach the mayis, the one wife who died, la'achar misa, after the husband died, yoledes nekeva he. She is a yoledes, not of a zocher, only of an akeva. Of a female, v'lav bas yirushi, a nekeva doesn't yarshin from her mother. The nekeva is coming to the estate and saying, the estate owes my mother money, and I'm, instead of my mother, I'm collecting the chov, but I have nothing to do with yirusha. So we're not afraid of any fight. So there we could say that the ksuba that's paid out to the nekeva will serve as the moser dinner. Then the first two sets of sons can collect. If one is collecting $20,000 and the other one is collecting $10,000, because each ksubas b'din dichrin was different than the other one, so it will work, because the ksuba paid to the nekeva will serve as the moser dinner. And we're not worried about fighting, because the nekeva can't say to the two sets of sons, I didn't get any Yerusha, you're getting a special Yerusha, it's not fair. You're not someone who gets Yerusha from the Torah anyway. Avol achas b'chayv achas b'moysoi. But if it's a case where one wife died in the lifetime of the husband and one died after his death, v'hod l'achar misa yoledes zocher he, and the one who died after the husband had a zocher, so now when this zocher gets the ksuba of the mother, he can say to the children, the sons of the first wife, I got a choiv of my mother, but I didn't get any special Yerusha for my mother. You're getting from my mother's dowry. You're getting a special inheritance from the father, which was the dowry that your mother brought into the marriage. I'm not getting that. So you're getting something, a Yerusha, that I'm not eligible to. So here I would have thought, even if ksuba nasas moisa l'chavrata, but here I would have thought there's no din of ksubas b'nin dichrin, because it can come to fighting. Kamashmalan, that's why he had to tell me that not only is a ksuba nasas moisa l'chavrata, not only in a case where you have three women and the two first wives' sons will collect ksubas b'nin dichrin. Why? Because the third wife who died after the husband, she had a daughter who's not going to fight about the Yerusha anyway, and therefore, once the chov is paid to the daughter, the first two sons can collect the ksubas b'nin dichrin. I would think it's only in that case, but not in the case of two wives, and the second wife's son, child is a zocher, and he might fight. I would think where he might fight for Yerusha, equal rights in the Yerusha, maybe there the Chachamim did not enact Ksubas B'nin Dichrin. That's why Rav Papa had to spell out in the name of Rav Papa clearly that the din is not only Ksubas Nasa Moshe L'Chavrata by three women, but the din is even Achas B'chayav, Achas B'moysoi, and even if that deceased second lady has a son who's a Zohar, who might say it's not fair, might fight about it, Kamash Malan, that even in such a case, there is an enactment of Ksubas B'nin Dichrin.
Continues the Mishnah, Misha Hoyonasi Shtei Noshim Umesu, someone who was married to two women and they died, so they are not entitled to any Ksuba because they were not divorced from their husbands, nor were they almanis from their husbands. But now comes a question of the Yerusha to their children. Va'achar kach meishu, and then the husband died. V'yisoymim evakshin ksubas imon, and the yisomim are asking the ksuba of their mother. Here we're speaking about the ksubas binyan dichrin, which we have learned is a takonis chachamim, that the chachamim were interested that the father of the yisoymim's mother should want to give a large dowry so that the nechasim that his daughter takes into her marriage will subsequently be given over only to his daughter's children and not to his son-in-law's wife's other children, children from a second marriage. They were mesaken ksubas binyan dichrin. So now there was one ksuba from the group of Yisoymim that had a larger dowry, and then there was the ksubas binyan dichrin from the wife who had a smaller dowry. So the Yisoymim from the larger dowry would like to get their ksubas binyan dichrin. The Yisoymim of Akshin ksubas imon ve'ein shom elishtei ksubas. However, there is only enough in the estate to satisfy both ksubas dichrin exactly. For example, let's say, as the case the Gemara will give, one ksubas dichrin was for 1,000 zuz, and the other ksubas dichrin was for 500 zuz, and there's exactly 1,500 zuz in the estate, which means that the halacha of Yerusha min HaTorah, that each son shares equally, except for the Bechor, of course, who gets two halakim, we will not be able to be mekayim the din d'oraisa. So when did the Chachamim institute ksubas binyan dichrin? When was there such a takana? Only if the din Yerusha min d'oraisa can be met. But here, where there is no money left over for the din d'oraisa, the din from the Torah, to take effect, here the Rabbanan did not institute their takana of ksubas binyan dichrin, and therefore the halach is cholkim b'shava, that they divide equally, which means all 1,500 zuz are divided according to the amount of children that the mace had, and we do not give the sons of of the wife that had a larger dowry more than the sons of the wife that had a smaller dowry. Ha yisham moist dinner, but if besides the 1,500 zuz there was one dinner extra, so now in that dinner we can satisfy the din d'oraisa of dividing it equally. So then that dinner is divided equally amongst all the sons, and then elu noitling subasimon ve'elu noitling subasimon, and then the sons of the wife that had a larger dowry will take their thousands zuz, and the sons of the wife that had a smaller dowry, the 500 zuz, will take their 500 zuz, because since the din d'oraisa is able to be niskayim, then the Rabbanan would have their takana of ksubas binyan dichrin also in effect. However, says the Mishnah, Amru Yisoymim, if the Yisoymim of the larger dowry will say the following, Anachnu ma'alim al nichsei avinu yafa dinner, when we get our 1,000, we will consider it as having 1,001. And then when we get it, we will give back one dinner, and that one dinner will be able to be mekayim the din d'oraisa. And what's their purpose of being so benevolent to give back one dinner? Kideshi yitlu ksubas imon, in order that they will be able to get the ksuba of their mother, which is the larger dowry. Then ein shamelen, we do not listen to them. Ela shaman es hanechasim bebezdin, we estimate the nechasim bebezdin, and we will find out that the estate is exactly 1,500 zuz, and then the halacha will be that all the sons, whether from the wife that had a larger dowry or whether from the wife that had a smaller dowry, will all share equally. If there were nechasim there which were prospectively adding on to the 1,500 zuz, which Rashi says means, for example, the father had died, but the grandfather was still alive. So if the grandfather will die, the grandsons will yarshin it as children of their father, who would be a yoresh from the grandfather, so they would be the ones to yarshin, but that's only perspective. Meanwhile, the grandfather is still alive. The halacha is, einan kebemuchzik, this is not considered that it's in their possession. This is not considered part of the estate, and therefore all we have is the 1,500 zuz, and since there is no moser dinner, there's no extra dinner, bemuchzik, it's not possessed by them yet, they have to divide the 1,500 according to the amount of sons, and we do not give the children of the larger dowry extra above the children of the smaller dowry. Rav Shimon, Amar Rav Shimon says, Afili yeshom nechasim shein lamachrayis, even if there are over there nechasim where there's no responsibility on. This refers to metaltal, movable objects. Einon klum, that is not worth anything. Ad sheyu sham nechasim sheish lamachrayis, until there is there nechasim which have a responsibility. This refers to karka. Yoser al shtei haksubas dinner. If there's at least one dinner of karka above and beyond the requirements of the two dowries, there's one dinner of karka above 1,500 zuz in the mashal that we've been using in this Mishnah, then and only then can we divide up that dinner equally, where we fulfill the din d'oraisa of Yerusha, and then we will have the takanas chachamim of awarding each mother's ksuba to her children. Now the Tanakhama argues on this point of Reb Shimon and says that the dinner can be from a Taltal as well. But the Tanakhama agrees to Reb Shimon, as we've had throughout the Masechta, that the ksuba itself can only be nigva from karka. Begins the Gemara, and the Gemara will give this example that we've been speaking about in the Mishnah of 1,500. To portray what our mission is discussing. Tana Rabbana, Lezu Elef. If one woman had a dowry of 1,000, Ulezu Chamesh Meis, and to the other wife there was only a dowry of 500 zuz. So then the halacha is, based on our Mishnah, Im Yesha Moisa dinner, if there's an extra dinner, Elu Neitlung Suba Simon, Ve'elu Neitlung Suba Simon. So the sons of the wife that had a larger dowry, they take their 1,000 zuz. And the sons of the smaller dowry, they take their 500 zuz. Because we're mekayim the din d'oraisa in the dinner, which they will split equally. V'im lav, if there is no extra dinner, then yachloku b'shava, then they will divide it equally. They will divide all 1,500 amongst all of the sons, and the sons of the larger dowry will not receive more than the sons of the smaller dowry. Now, says the Gemara, Pshita, the Gemara understood that it is pashut, it is simple, that merubin v'nismaitu, if there was an extra dinner above the 1,500 zuz at the time of when the father died. But then v'nismaitu, then it became worth less, and when Besdin was estimating the value of the property, of the estate, it was only exactly 1,500. So now the question is, do we divide it equally, or do we divide it by giving the sons of the larger dowry more than the sons of the smaller dowry? So the halach is, that's Pashut, says the Gemara, Kvar Zochu Ben Yarshin, that the sons of the larger dowry were already zocha, because at the time when the father died, there was an extra dinner, and therefore they will get more than the sons of the smaller dowry. The Gemara has a question, though. Mu'atim and the Srabu Mai. What happens if at the time of death there was exactly 1,500? And then by the time Besdin estimated its value, Venis Rabu, they became worth more, and now we had at least one dinner extra to be Mekayim, the din d'oraisa. My, what is the din? Do you go after the time of Misa, where we would not be able to Mekayim, the din d'oraisa, and then they would all share equally? Or do we go at the time of the Beis Din's estimation, where there was an extra dinner because it became valued more, and then we would have a dinner to be mekayim the din d'oraisa, and then we can give the sons of the wife that had a larger dowry more than the sons of the wife that had a smaller dowry? That is the Gemara's question. The Rishonim wonder why it was more pashut to the Gemara merubin v'nismatu, as opposed to muatan v'nisrabu. By muatan v'nisrabu, we have a question. By merubin v'nismatu, we have no question. Why don't we say that if merubin v'nismatu, it's a dover pashut, you go at the time of death, and at that time we were able to mekayim the din d'oraisa with the dinner, even though it didn't wind up that way. So it should be just as pashut by muatan v'nisrabu, that at the time of Misa there was no extra dinner, and then we have to divide it equally. Why is merubin v'nismatu more pashut than muatan v'nisrabu? On this, the Rajba and the Shita Mikabetzis brings it down, B'Shem Talmidei HaRajba, they say the following, that we know that Chazal did not implement their Takana if we are unable to be Mekayim the Din D'oraisa. So the Gemara thought that it was a Dover Pashut, that if at the time of death it was Merubin, there was an extra dinner, then the Chacham say there's no reason for us not to enact our takana. And therefore, we're going to go ahead in this Din Torah with our takana, even if later something happened and at the time of Shumas Beis Din, it was only equal exactly 1,500 zuz. But we're only going to pull away from our takana. That's what the Gemara assumed as a Dover Pashut, if at the time when the Shaila rises, which is at the time of the death of the husband, at that time, if there is a problem that we can't be mekayim the din d'oraisa, we'll take away our takana. But if there's no problem, if there is an extra dinner at that time, then we enact our takana. So that's why the Gemara thought that's pashut. However, if at the time of death it was muatan, so we can't be mekayim the din d'oraisa, so normally we should say that we would, the Chachamim would take away their takana of Ksubas Binyan Dichrin in order to be Mekayim the Din D'oraisa of splitting up the Yerusha. Here comes the question, but since V'nisrabu, since Lamaisa, at the end of the day, at the time when Beis Din is estimating it, there is a way to be Mekayim the Din D'oraisa, so perhaps the Chachamim still did not pull away their takana because there's a way to be Mekayim the Din D'oraisa. This is the Gemara's question. This is how the Rishonim understand the question of Mu'atim v'Nisrabu. So Mu'atim v'Nisrabu, my, do we go after the time of Misa, and they would all share equally, or do we go at the time of the Shumas Beis Din, when it was worth a dinner more, and then the sons of the wife with the larger dowry would get more. Tashma will bring you a raya from a case that happened. The Nichse de Beibar Tzarchard, there was Nichosim from a Yerusha of this person called Bar Tzartzer, and they were Mu'atan. They were only equal in our Mashal of 1,500 Zuz for both sets of sons. V'nisrabu became worth more, Havu. V'asal kamei de Rav Amram, they came with the Din Torah, the Shaila in front of Rav Amram, Amar Lahu, he said to the sons of the smaller dowry, Zil Faistinu, go and settle with them. In other words, you're going to have to give it to, you're going to have to give the sons of the larger dowry more. You're not going to divide it equally, since at the time of Shumas Beis Din, it was worth more. Lo Yashgichu, so the sons of the smaller dowry did not listen. They wanted to divide it equally. Amar Lahu, so Rav Amram said to them, Eloi Mefai Sisulu, if you don't settle with them and do what I paskind, Mechin lechu, I will hit you besila deloy mavadama. I will hit you with a thorn that doesn't draw any blood. In other words, Rashi explains, I'll put you in cherum. Shadrin lechamei to Rav Nachman. So Rav Amram sent them to Rav Nachman, thinking that Rav Nachman would paskin like he did. Omar lehen, said Rav Nachman to the Yisoymim, Kishem shemerubim v'nismaitu zachu ben yorshin, just like in the first case, where it was more at the time of Misa, and it became worth less at the time of the Shumas Beis Din, the Yorshim of the Ksuba of the large dowry were Zochem, Kach Mu'atim V'Nisrabu. This is the way Rashi and Tosfos brings down for Rabbeinu Chananel. Learn by Mu'atim V'Nisrabu Zocha Mehen Yorshin. So the Yorshin were Zocha means the Yorshin of the small dowry were Zocha, that the halacha is you go at the time of Misa, and at that time there was no extra dinner, and therefore they share it equally. Tosfos brings a different pshat that learns differently than Rashi and the Rabbeinu Chananel, but the pashas of the Gemara is, like the Rashi and Rabbeinu Chananel, that the Gemara's maskana is that we always, the Chachamim always looked, what was the case at the time of death? By Merubim v'Nismat, at the time of death, there was no reason to pull away the Takanas Chachamim because there was a dinner to split and be Mekayim, the din of Yerusha D'Raisa. So the children of the larger dowry were Zocha to have more than the children of the smaller dowry. So too, by Mu'atim v'Nisrabu, we look at the time of death. At the time of death, there was no dinner, there was no way to be Mekayim, the din D'Raisa, and therefore everyone has to share equally. Now the Gemara brings an acronym, Simen, Elef, Umeya, Mitzvah, Biksuba, Yaakov, Zokov, Sadoisov, Bidvorim, Asikid. And these are the key words of a number of stories and cases that the Gemara is going to discuss until the next mission on Daf Tzadik Gimel Amid Aleph. And we begin with the first one, Ahu Gavra Davi Maski Bei Alpha. And here's the word of the acronym Elef. This is the first case. There was a man who was owed 1,000 zuzim. Havalei, who owed 1,000 zuzim to the Baal Chov, to the lender. Havalei trei apadne. He had two mansions. Zavina chad b'chamish meah. He sold one mansion for 500 zuz. V'chad b'chamish meah. The other one for 500 zuz. And he, as we will see from the case, the way the Ritva learns, that he sold both of them to one lokeach, to one purchaser. Also, Bal Choyiv, so the Bal Choyiv came, the lender came, the Malva came, Torfa L'Chadim. Now, he grabbed one of these mansions, as the Ritva explains, because the Lova didn't have any money. He first went, the Malva went to the Lova, and say, pay your debt, it was time to pay the debt. He said, I have no money. So he had sold the fields to one lokeach, so the Baal Chov went. He had sold the fields after the loan was made, and therefore there was a responsibility, there was a mortgage, a lien on these properties to pay up the debt of the Malva. And so the Malva went and grabbed one mansion, for which was equal to 500 zuz. Hader Katar Vlidach. Then he wanted to take the other mansion for the other $500. So Shokal Alpha Zuzi, Deloy Keach, the purchaser who had bought both fields, took 1,000 Zuzi. Vikozal Gabe went to the Bachov. Omerlani said to him, Ishavilach Alpha Zuzi Lachai, if the mansion that you have already taken is worth to you $1,000, in other words, if you'll settle and say, okay, I'm not going to pursue the other 500 because I will consider the mansion that I've taken already to be equal to 1,000, which was really an inflated price. The going rate of that mansion was 500 zuzi. But if you'll consider it 1,000 zuzi, fine, you keep one mansion, I'll keep the other mansion, said the lekeach. But the Eloi, but if you say, no, this is only worth 500 zuzi, I want the other mansion also for 500 zuzi, shokel alfa zuzi, I will take 1,000 zuzim and give it to you, vistalik, as Rashi says on the fourth line, mitarvayu, you are going to be removed from both. And as you, if you want this mansion, if you feel comfortable in this mansion, that it's worth to you to keep it for 1,000 zuz, fine. But if not, if you're going to say, no, it's only worth 500, then I'll pay you out. I'll force you to give me back the first mansion that you took by paying you 1,000 zuz. So in a way, he is causing, by inflating the price for the lokeach, for the Baal Chov to accept one of the mansions, which is really worth 500, as if it was worth 1,000. So the Ritva says it must be the case here that it was one lokeach who bought both fields, because it was two different people who bought both fields, and the Baal Chov had already grabbed one field from the first lokeach. What leverage did the second lokeach have to force him to give back that first field. That had been taken away from a different lekeach. It must be that the both fields have been sold to the same person. So that lekeach now says to the Baal Chayiv, you took one of my fields away, and if you'll consider it to be a full payment, fine. If not, I'm going to pay you off the whole thousand and get both mansions back. So Rami Bar Chama Lameimer, so Rami Bar Chama thought, what's the psak in this din? Can the lokeach inflate the price of the mansion to 1,000 zuzim? He thought, Heinemas Nisan, that's our Mishnah. What's the case of our Mishnah? We learned, Imamri Yusaimim, Hare Anu Mal Al Nichser Avinu Yofa Dinner, if the Yusaimim, the Yusaimim from the larger dowry, they want to collect the larger dowry, but the whole estate is only worth 1,500 zuz. So they'll say, we'll inflate the price and say that we're getting 1,001 zuz. And then once we get it, we'll give back one dinner. We'll give back one dinner. Hare anu mal al nichser avinu yofa dinner. So the din of the Mishnah said, no, you can't do that. You can't inflate it. We only look at it, what it's really worth, which is 1,500 zuz. And therefore, you all have to share it equally because we cannot be mekayem the din deraisa of the Yerusha here. And therefore, the Chacham took away their enactment of Ksubas Binyan Dichrin. So this should be the same thing. How does the loikeach want that this loan should be satisfied by inflating the price of one mansion, which is really worth 500, to be equal to 1,000? Just like they can't do it in our Mishnah, they shouldn't be able to do it over there. Omale Ravis, so Rav responded to Rami Bar Chama and said, Mi Domi, how can you compare the two cases? Hasam Islep Seder Liyasmi. If you're going to inflate in the case of our Mishnah, so then who's going to gain from it? The children, the sons of the wife that has a larger dowry. Who's going to suffer? The sons of the wife who have a smaller dowry. This way they would share the whole $1,500 equally, and this way they're only going to get what their mother's small dowry. So there you're not allowed to inflate it. But over here in the case of the Baal Chayiv who sold the two mansions, Mi Islep Seder, what kind of Seder do you have to the Baal Chayiv? Alfa Yoiv, he gave 1,000, the Alfa Shokel, and he took 1,000. He's going to get his 1,000 back. So the Ritva explains the machlokas here between Rava and Rami Bar Chama, that Rava holds that the Lekeach Motzi Leslukeas Baal Chayiv Bezuze. The Lekeach has the ability that he can satisfy the loan that is owed to the malva, to the lender, with money. The lender doesn't have a privilege of going right to the karka. He really could give him money. So since he doesn't really have a right in the karka itself, the lekeach can say, here's either $1,000, give me back the mansion you took already, or if you want to keep the mansion, you like the mansion, I'll inflate the price since I have the ability to pay you the 1,000. I have that option, and you don't want that option. You want to keep the mansion, so then I could say that it's worth more. But since I'm ready to give you 1,000, you lent 1,000, you're going to get back 1,000. I also have the ability to jack up the price on the mansion and say that the 500 zuz mansion is really worth 1,000. That's the sheet of Rava. However, Rami Bar Chama holds that no. That the Baal Chayiv has the first lien, and he actually can go to the karka. And if he wants to go to the karka, the lokeach cannot push him off because there's a lien on this property. And since he can't push him off, the Baal Chayiv has a right to usurp and take away that karka. Huadin, the lokeach, has no right to jack up, to inflate the price, and thereby prevent the Baal Chayiv from taking the second apadni. What's going to prevent the Baal Chayiv from taking the second apadni, which is worth another 500 zuz, by inflating the price on the first one? So just like in our mission, he can't do it. He can't do it over here. He doesn't have that right, the lokeach, to inflate the price, since the Baal Chayiv has the first lien. And since he has the first lien, the lokeach cannot inflate the price and thereby stop him from taking advantage of the lien that the Baal Chayiv has on the second apadni. This is the machlok, is the way the Ritva explains it, between Rava and Rami Bar Chama. And the Rambam in Hilchas Malva, Veloiva, Perichov Beis, Halacha, Tez Zayin, tells us that just as we have in the case of a Baal Choyv who took away property from the Lova when he had no money to pay, and later the Lova gets money, he has a right to go to the Baal Choyv and Hadra, Shuma Hadra, the Gemara says, that the what Bezdin estimated would pay up the loan from the property of the Lova and give it to the Malva, that can be retracted, and the Lova has a right to pay up with money and get back his karka. The Rambam says from our Gemara we see that the Lokeach, who bought it from the Lova, he has the same ability. He can pay up with money, and therefore, based on that right to pay up for money and get this karka back, he also, according to Rava, has the right to inflate the price because we consider it as if he's giving back $1,000. And it's different than our Mishnah, where we would actually be causing a hefsid to the children of the smaller dowry. Continues the Gemara, Vitirfa Bekama. Now, if this happens, and the Lokeach says, okay, you know what, I like this house, I like the neighborhood, I'm going to stay here, and this mansion, which is really worth only 500 zuz, I'm going to consider it as if it's worth 1,000 zuz, based on Rava, who says that the Lokeach has a right to say that to the Baal Choyv. The question now is, the Lokeach wants to get back his loss. He lost one of the mansions that the Lova sold to him. How much will he be able to collect in the Tirfa? Rashi says Tirfa is a star Tirfa, that Bezdin gives, if this field, we're speaking about a case where the Lova sold this property to the Lokeach with achrayus, meaning that if the Baal Chov takes away your property, I will pay you back. How much does the Loiva have to pay back? What is the shtar tier for the shtar, the collection shtar of Bezdin going to have in it? But says the Gemara, v'tir for b'kama kasfinin. Do we write 1,000 or do we write 500? Ravina, Amar Ba'alf, Ravina says that since the Lokeach caused the Baal Chov to say, okay, I'll keep the mansion to satisfy the entire debt of 1,000. So then the Lokeach has a right to go back to the Loiva and say that $1,000 was taken away from me, because that's what the Baal Chov accepted the whole mansion as being worth 1,000 zuz. Rav Avira, Amar B'chamish Meir, Rav Avira says that since the Lokeach still has one mansion, he only lost one mansion, and that mansion, the real value on the street is only 500 zuz, so he only lost 500 zuz. He can only go back to the Loiva and demand to be reciprocated and given 500 zuz and not 1,000. But Hilchas Bechamish Meir, the halacha taka is that even though the Baal Choyv accepted the first mansion to be worth 1,000 because he wants to keep that mansion, but as far as what the Lokeach can get back from the Loiva, he can only get back the real value of what he lost in the mansion, which is 500 zuz. Hahu Gavra, Davi Maski Be Meir Zuzi. There was a man, the Gemara is going to say a very similar case, very few differences between this case and the previous one. And this is the second siman in the acronym of Meya. There was a man who owed 100 zuz, Havale Treik Tinidara. He had two small fields. This is the first chilek. The case before was about mansions. This is about Ketina Da'ara, which Rashi says, Sadas Ketanas, two small fields. Chad Zvina B'chamshin, one he sold for 50, V'chad B'chamshin, and one he sold for 50. Here is the second difference, that we're not talking about $1,000 that he owed. He only owed 100, and the fields were, each one was only worth 50. It's interesting that the Duke Seifrim points out that you have another chilek here, because in the case before, it says, Zevinu Chada B'chamish Meya, on the fifth line of the Amid here, he sold one of the mansions for 500, V'chada B'chamish Meya. So it puts the word Zevinu before Chada. Here it says Chad Zevinu. And the Dikduke Seifrim says, Einachanami, you have to change it. It should be written here the same as it's written before, that what? Zevinu Chad B'chamshin, he sold one for 50, V'chad B'chamshin one for 50. So basically, the only differences we have so far in these two cases is the amount that was owed, the amount the fields were sold, and that it was fields and not mansions. Also, Balchayv tarfel lechad benayah. The Balchayv came and grabbed one for 50 zuz. Hadir also v'katarv lidich. Then he was about to grab the second one, shuckled, the loikeach took, kuf zuzi, 100 zuzim. Because of Gabbani went to, v'amalani said to him, ishav l'chuf zuzi l'chai. If the field is worth you 100 zuz, fine. V'loi shkoel kuf zuzi v'stalik. If not, I'm going to give you 100 zuz, and you'll have to leave both fields, exactly the same case we had before. So Rav Yosef l'mei, merhanim esnisin. So Rav Yosef here holds like Rami Bar Chama, and says that this is like our Mishnah. Imam Yusaimim, you can't inflate it. The same thing here, you can't inflate it. Omli Abai Mi Dami, Hasim Islay Pseili Asmi Chachamai Pseidislay, Mei Yav Moye Shakal. Abai holds like Rava said before. And probably the only reason we're bringing down this case is to show that Rabbi Yosef held like Rava Rechama, and that Abai held like Rava. So Abai says the same as Rava, you don't have a right to go right away to the karka. I could pay, I mutzili stiluke bezuze. I could satisfy the loan by paying you money. And even after you took it, I can pay you money and you have to give me the karka back. So therefore, I also have the right to inflate the price and consider one field, even though it's only worth 50, that it's really worth 100. And then the Gemara goes through the same thing. V'tirfa b'kama kasvinin. How much can the lekeach ask back from the loiva? Ravina amar b'meya. Ravina says 100. Rav Avira amar b'chamshin. Rav Avira says only 50. V'hilchsa b'chamshin. And the loch is with 50. And the Sheet Mekabetzes asks over here that this last machlokes between Ravina and Rav Avira, he doesn't know why this had to be mentioned. Bishloim, the whole case, as we said before, perhaps, because Rabbi Yosef, it's a different Mandi Amrim, it wants to teach us that Rabbi Yosef held like Rami Bar Chama, and Abaye held like Rava, but this last piece, it's the exact same Mandi Amrim. Just in the Gemara's question before was, Ravina said 1,000 he can get back from the Lova, and Rav Avira said 500, and Vehilchus said Bechamishmeya. Here it's Mamish, the same Mandi Amrim. It's Ravina at 100, Rav Avira 50, and Vehilchsa B'chamshin. Sheet B'chavetz has a question, why was this machlokas necessary to be repeated? Of course, just like they were arguing by the 1,000 and the 500 before, and the halachas 500, so here by the tirfa in our situation, how much can Lekeach get back from the Lova? The same thing, one says 100, one says 50, and the halacha is 50. This is a question that remains unanswered by the Shita Mekubetzes.